Welcome to Living Orthodoxy, an invitation to a deeper life in Christ, a podcast of St. Philip Orthodox Church in Souderton, Pennsylvania, dedicated to connecting the liturgical and spiritual life of the Orthodox parish with the life of the Orthodox home, presenting the weekly homilies of our parish pastors, Father Noah Buscelli and Father James Thayer, as well as discussions of the liturgical year and Orthodox life and practice by Justin Bowl and Jeff Hyatt. Now here is Father Noah Buscelli.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. I'm glad you're all here safe and sound from the roads. It is good for us to be here for many reasons, especially to receive the sacraments, that we need to be strong and to continue in our journey, to see each other and be strengthened by the fellowship, and to be reminded that this world is not our home. The flu reminds us of that. The echoes of coughing, the terrible school shooting in Florida, may God have mercy on us and on them, reminds us of that. The strife throughout the world in Ethiopia and Middle East, the unrest in our families even, reminds us that this world is not our home. And that is the theme for this Sunday. We think of this Sunday as Cheese Fair Sunday, which it is. We are saying farewell. See you on the other side. We think of it as Forgiveness Sunday, which it is, and it's very important. But it's also the Sunday that we commemorate the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise, that we, the human race, are in exile, and that this world is not our home. It's easier and easier for me to say that as I'm getting older. Not that 40 is very old, but it's older than 30. And there's more hope and more joy in the future life, in my mind and my heart, than I've ever had before. And I hope that you feel the same way too. If you don't, this Lent is a good time for you to open your heart to God, open your mind more to God. Say, give me that faith and hope and love in the resurrection. So in the context of exile, we are given the keys to the gates of repentance. Those of you who made it to Matins this morning heard the beautiful hymn, which we hear all of the Triodian Sundays, "Open to me the gates of repentance." And in the Gospel today, we are given three keys to opening these gates of repentance. And these keys, I think, all have the thread of our co-exileship, the fact that we are all in exile together. We need to be aware of that, and we need to respond to that in obedience, in creativity, in faith and hope and love. One of the hymns that we sang this morning, "Woe is me," Adam cried, lamenting. "Woe is me, I can no more endure the shame. I who was once king over all God's creatures upon earth have now become a prisoner, led astray by evil counsel. I who was once clothed in the glory of immortality must now, as one condemned to die, wrap myself miserably in the skins of mortality. Woe is me! Who will share my sorrow with me? But, O Lord, who lovest mankind, who hast fashioned me from the earth and art clothed in compassion, call me back from the bondage of the enemy and save me." We are in exile, and yet our Lord has come into exile with us. We don't run from God's love. We might try to, but we can't, because he will outrun us. If we try to make our bed in hell, he is there. So we are in exile, and then this beautiful time of year, this time of asceticism, spiritual athleticism, the arena of salvation, is a time that we exile ourselves from this earth, exiling ourselves from our exile to try to get back to paradise in some little ways. And these are the three ways that the gospel talks about. It talks about giving away our money, almsgiving. It talks about fasting and forgiveness. An exile is not concerned about long-term enjoyment in the place of exile. The exile is concerned about mobility. Do I have what I need to get back to my home and to take as many people with me? Do I have what I need for today, for this veil of tears? But especially, do I have what I need to get back home? And therefore, we don't invest overly in this life, because we know that one day that investment will come to naught. We invest in heaven. We invest in paradise. Same thing with fasting. We are undergoing a voluntary exile, getting back to paradise. An email from a friend reminded me that food is the lowest form of fasting. Our dietary abstinence is really the lowest form of fasting. And yet it's indispensable. Just as when you're building a house, you build the lowest part first, which is the foundation. And then you build the house, and you don't remove the foundation. It would be crazy. It would be a house of cards. So our fasting from food is essential, but it's just the beginning. It's the foundation upon which we can really establish virtue, establish sacrifice, denying ourselves, having an exodus from ourselves. This is one of the beautiful words I received on Mount Athos. Love for God equals an exodus from yourself. Love for God means forgetting yourself, following him, back to the promised land, back from exile. So almsgiving, fasting, and forgiveness. And this is what I want to focus on the most in forgiveness. There is the folly of unforgiveness. You know, our crazy thinking. We think that forgiveness is weakness. We think that forgiveness is naivety. We think that forgiveness is not being realistic. Perhaps it is all of those things. Perhaps it is weakness. But our Lord told St. Paul that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. We have to be weak so we can be strong. He told St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Is forgiveness weakness? Maybe it is, but it's God's strength. The Psalms say, you know, the Psalms from the Old Testament that so many people think is a book of legalism, a book of God seeming to hate us with anger. The Psalms say, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your iniquities from you. Like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Forgiveness is strength. Forgiveness is power being held back for the sake of the other person. So there's the folly of forgiveness, the unclear, confused thinking. And there's also the fallout of forgiveness, the fallout of lack of forgiveness. Lack of forgiveness gives place to the devil in our life. When we don't forgive somebody, we are inviting Satan to take control of us. And here's an example from the life of an almost saint and the life of a saint. There was a man, Nikephoros, who was friends with a priest named Saprikius. Saint Nikephoros' feast day was about 10 days ago. And somehow Nikephoros and Father Saprikius had a falling out, and they didn't talk to each other for a long time. Until a persecution arose. This was before Constantine legalized the church. And the pressure was heavy for Christians to deny Christ or to suffer confessing and even suffer martyrdom. Nikephoros ran to Father Saprikius. Serapion was the monk on Athos who told me this, that bit about Exodus from yourself. Ran to Father Saprikius and said, "Forgive me, Father, I'm sorry. Whatever I did, please forgive me. I know I offended you, please forgive me." And this priest was unable to forgive him, unwilling to forgive him. And he hardened his heart again and again and again. And then the persecution came to their town. And Saprikius was caught and tried, and he was being very valiant. I will not deny Christ. I will die for my Lord. And Nikephoros watched him, was praying for him, so glad to see his boldness and the grace in his life. And as he was being brought to the place of execution, Nikephoros ran and dove in front of him and yelled, "Father, please forgive me. Let's be reconciled." And this Saprikius stepped over him and turned up his nose and refused to forgive him and went to the place of execution. But as he was walking there, God's grace left him because he refused to forgive. And by the time he got from Nikephoros on the ground to the place of execution, he said, "I will deny Christ. I will sacrifice to idols." And he was released. And Nikephoros said, "I'm a Christian, and I'll die in his place." And they said, "Okay, we need to kill somebody, I guess, keep the gods happy." So he was killed. A crown of glory was put on his head as his soul ascended to heaven. And Saprikius just disappeared into nothingness. He kept his life, but he lost his life. He kept his soul, but he lost his place in heaven. Maybe he repented. That we don't hear about that, though. So the fallout of lack of forgiveness is eternal. And this makes sense because what our Lord says in the Sermon on the Mount, which we read this morning, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. God's sovereignty, which we are very thankful for, God's sovereignty has bowed before each of our hearts. He helps us. He gives us all the grace we can handle to make the right choice, to respond to his call. He knocks on the door of our heart, but he respects our freedom. If you forgive the sins, you will be forgiven. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. So how do we start forgiving? There are some in my life that it took me a long time to forgive. Forgiveness starts on the cross. It starts with our Lord's words from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It starts with this beautiful nugget that I received on Mount Athos. With every cross, there is a resurrection. Every sorrow in our life can blossom to joy if we will let go of the poison. We have to pray for the strength, the follow-through, the peace, the love, the faith, and the hope to forgive. But I want to close with this little prayer. Not a prayer, it's a poem, I guess, called This Was From Me. And I share it with you so you will apply it to your relationships. Because what he says is, the bad things that happen in your life, they were allowed by me, by God, so that you can mature, you can come closer to me. He asked the question, do you find yourself in difficult circumstances among those who you do not understand you, who have no consideration for what is pleasing to you and push you aside? This was from me. Do you find yourself in financial difficulty? It is hard for you to make ends meet. This was from me. Now I'm skipping the part that explains why God allows this. Are you undergoing a night of sorrow? Are you separated from those near and dear to your heart? This was from me. Have you been let down by your friend, by one to whom you opened your heart? This was from me. Has someone slandered you? This was from me. Have your plans been ruined? Are you downtrodden in soul and exhausted? This was from me. Has serious illness, whether temporary or incurable, overtaken you and nailed you to your bed? This was from me. Have you for a long time not heard from persons near and dear to you? And in your faint-heartedness and meager faith, you are falling into despair and grumbling. This is from me. Did you dream of doing something special for me, and instead of that found yourself fallen onto a bed of pain and weakness? This was from me. So we don't take things personally. We take things gratefully. We say, God has allowed this terrible thing to happen because he knows my heart. He knows my need. And he is ever drawing me out of exile back to paradise. He is opening the gates of repentance to me with this suffering, with this sorrow, with this sickness, so that I will return again in glory, so that I will take my place as a king or a queen and reign forever on high under God's sovereignty with all the saints unto ages of ages. Amen.